أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى أهله وصحبه أجمعين ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. In the name of Allah, the gracious, the merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the universe, the master of the day of judgment. I bear witness and testimony to the oneness of Allah, to His magnificence, His omnipotence, His might, His glory, to His being the creator and sustainer of all things, the giver of life, the guider of hearts, the master of the day of judgment. And I bear witness to the fact that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and final messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all those who choose to tread in his path until the last day. It is said in a narration that comes to us from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that Allah azza wa jal looked into the hearts of his righteous servants. Inna Allah nazara fi qulub al-ibad, that indeed Allah azza wa jal, he looks into the hearts of his ibad, he looks into the hearts of his servants. Fawajada khayra qulub al-ibad qalba Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he finds that the best of hearts is the heart of Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Fastafahu li nafsihi, he chooses him for himself and he sends him forward with his message. And I think it's an important starting point for this conversation that we are hoping to have or continue to have tonight, where we are trying to understand how it is in fact that we can obtain success. We're here where Allah Azza wa Jal is looking into the hearts of His servants, He's looking to the hearts of His creation to see who will be given the responsibility, the title, the burden, if you will, to be His last messenger to all mankind for all of time. He's not looking to see what culture the person will come from. He's not looking to see what their level of wealth, their level of affluence is or influence in that regard. It's not about their race, their ethnicity, their social class. But when Allah looks to see who will be His last messenger to all of mankind, He looks to see who has the best of hearts. And He finds that the best of hearts is within the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For us, a lot of the times when we think about success, we think about success in terms of external variables, things that are tangible in terms of what it is that we can hold in our hands. How much wealth I will have, what kind of job I will get, what kind of degrees I can acquire. We think about it in terms of things that are materialistic. But real contentment, real satisfaction, fulfillment in our tradition isn't about necessarily what it is that we possess of the world, but as Ali radiallahu anh tells us, to not let anything of the world possess you. To be in a place where you have a certain sense of fulfillment internally. And when you get to a place where you can recognize the relationship between your inward and your outward, and you start to ask yourself questions about how it is that you take care of that most precious part of you, your heart that is inside of you, you're going to see that the world in and of itself is a different place. Not because anything drastically changed, but because the most important parts that needed to change, the parts within you had changed. And that's now what it is that you're looking at this world with. You know as well as I do that what we are socialized with in terms of what success is are things that at times don't really give us that contentment. And a lot of the times the standards that we set are things that might seek to elevate us, but they really are denigrating those who are around us. We set standards, we put people into boxes, we make assessments based off of things that are external rather than things that are really rooted in our tradition, and it goes beyond problematic. Because then we set for people a sense that they have to aspire to achieve in those regards, and when they fail to meet those regards, somehow they are inadequate, they are deficient. You are not a doctor, somehow you are lacking. You are not a person who has this level of wealth, somehow you are beneath those who actually have that much wealth. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua to Allah that the risk, the livelihood, the sustenance of the family of Muhammad should be just enough, it should be just sufficient. But those kind of things get lost. When I was walking into the hall here, I had two sisters who approached me who were really distraught. And they said, "Can we talk to you for a moment?" And I said, "Sure." And I said, "How do you think the conference is going?" And they said, "It's okay, not what we expected." And I said, "What do you mean?" And they said that we had signed up to participate in the matrimonial service, but it wasn't anything like what we had thought it would be. When we got there, we had to fill out a form, and aside from asking us what our name is and what our height is and questions like that, we had to fill in a box that asked us what our complexion is. Meaning, what does your skin look like? And they said when we tried to talk to people about why this was problematic, nobody saw why that was an issue. If you don't know why that's an issue, you got to take a real look within and try to understand what's going on inside of your heart. We have these constructs that we develop that says that if your skin isn't as fair and white as whatever it is that you want it to be, then somehow you are not adequate. And what it takes away from a person is a life that they are entitled to live. It interjects itself as a thought that comes from a place that somehow I am lacking, I am somehow deficient because I have darkness to my skin. I'm in a place where I am not worthy of being wed. I'm in a place where people shouldn't even pay attention to me, give me a first glance, let alone a second glance, because of something I had no control over, the divine ordained that I would be born to the parents I was born to, who were placed in the world in terms of His divine wisdom. And then when those notions start to bombard us internally, when we have no space where it is that we can discuss it, and this is key to be able to understand how it is in fact that we can render true contentment. Because when they went to try to speak to someone about it, they were shut down. They were told it's not a big deal. And so now it just exists inside. And it's that heart that now sees the world. It's that heart that tries to digest, what does Islam mean? It is that heart that tries to understand, who is God to me? And where do you think they're going to land? In a place that's going to give them the strength, the ability to walk forward through any challenge? Are they going to go home and look in the mirror, and every time they see the face that looks back at them, they're going to wonder, why did God make me this color? Every time they see their parents and they don't see a ring on their finger, are they going to think that somehow I'm a disappointment? I have met people who literally, the color of their skin from their wrist to their fingertips is a different shade from their finger, from their wrist to their elbow, because they try to scrub the darkness off of their hands. Are you kidding me? And if you think it's something that all of us should not pay attention to, that just because it doesn't happen to us or I don't perpetuate it, if you know that it takes place and you are not utilizing your voice to speak against it, you are just as worse as the one who is allowing for it to function. To understand, this is what we say is success. But that's not what Islam says is success. Islam does not say that success is somehow that every single person who is not of our background, not of our race, not of our culture, not of our class, is somehow not meant to be with us. Islam is not something that is reserved for the elite in that sense. What makes this deen beautiful is that it teaches us that no matter where it is that we are, or who it is that is with us, or who it is that makes us feel as if we are most alone, Allah is always with us. And while there are fools who are out there who try to put us box into boxes that we are most definitely bigger than, whether they are Muslim or not, Allah knows what is going on inside of you. With that sense of a recognition that your God is the most merciful of those who show mercy. That he is Wadud, he is the source of an unconditional love. That he is Latif, he is most gentle. That he is the most beautiful, he is the most kind. Go out and walk on this earth with a sense of confidence. And do what it is that you have the unique ability to do and that you have been endowed and blessed with to do. And to be able to engage that world outside of you, take moments for the world that is within you. Don't let yourself be purely driven for the acquisition of this world. Because the best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, a man who smiled at people when he saw them, who gave him their full attention, whether they were young or old, male or female, black, white, brown or yellow, Muslim or not, not ever turning his back on anyone, letting them know that they were so important that he would give them everything and anything of what he was, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. He is the one who says, لَيْسَ الْغِنَا كَثْرَةَ الْعَرَضُ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَا غِنَا النَّفْسِ. That true richness is not having an abundance of things of the earth, but true richness is having a richness of your soul. And as much as this world teaches you how to be a doctor, how to be a lawyer, how to be an engineer, how to be an academic, and these things are not inherently problematic. Nobody's sitting you down and telling you or asking you, why do you love what you love? Or why do you hate what you hate? Or why do you desire what you desire? The cycle is just going to keep perpetuating itself. We need you all to be in a place where you take a deep look within and you find a sense of self-value and self-esteem so that you can go out and build and transform this world in ways that only you uniquely can. I sit in my office every day and listen to people who are victims of domestic violence, victims of sexual assault, mental health issues, homelessness, poverty. And they're waiting for us to build for them what it is that we have the ability to build. They're waiting for us to go out there and set up the shelters. They're waiting for us to go out there and establish the advocacy groups. They're waiting for us to go out there and build the clinics. And for you out to be the one to build it, you have to first believe that you have the ability to. You have to understand what it is that will give you real contentment and not be lost in foolish platitudes. Wealth in and of itself is not problematic. And it's not to say that if you are rich, you will be happy, or if you are poor, you will be happy, or even the converse of that. Because you have companions who have the likes of Uthman ibn Affan. They had a lot of wealth. They used it for the community. You had companions who are the like of Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, who didn't even want to keep food in his house for longer than a day. Across the spectrum, these men and women lived. But they knew what it was that their purpose was. They knew where their real sense of contentment was. The purpose of Sharia is to increase benefit and reduce detriment. It is not a system or a vehicle that seeks to be an ends in and of itself, but is a means to something. And it's not meant to bring you to happiness or laughter. It's meant to bring you to contentment. And if the practice of it is not bringing you to that place, then go back and revisit it. And if you are the person who is taking somebody away from it, you are utilizing it in a way that it is a weapon that is bringing people down, then speak good or be silent. We can't turn people any way or war any way. We need to be able to utilize the strengths of all of us, every single one of us. We are in a place where we are the most talented. We are in the place where we are the most well-resourced. We are in a place where we have the best of credentials. We are in a place where we have the best skills. We know all of the trainings. We just don't believe in ourselves. We don't have confidence. We are in a place where we are scared and we walk around on our tippy toes. Believe in Allah. Work for Him. Sit down and take a step and really reflect, who is God to you? And what kind of God do you believe in? In our tradition, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he tells us that Allah is more merciful to his creation than a mother is to his child. We have a narration where he is with his companions and he sees a child running around and a mother looking for the child. And when they meet and embrace, the Prophet utilizes the opportunity to teach his companions. And he says, do you think this mother would ever hurt his baby? Say, no, of course not, Ya Rasulullah. Do you think she would ever throw him into a fire? Of course not, O Messenger of God. Allah is more merciful to his creation than a mother is to his child. That he is walking with his companions and they come upon some Bedouins. And they have a meal with them, and there is a woman who is cooking at a large pot, a cauldron. And her child goes to touch the pot, and she pushes him away from the pot. And then she goes to the Prophet of God and says, are you the one who claims to be the Messenger of God? And he says, yes. The one who claims that God is most merciful, more merciful than a mother is to his child. And he says, yes. She says, then know this. A mother would never let his child ever be hurt or feel harm. The Prophet responds by lowering his head and crying. My wife and I, we went to California during Ramadan last year or 2 years ago. And I was giving some lectures and we connected to some of our community members who relocated there and some of the alumni from New York University where I work, and they took me to watch the sunset over the San Francisco Bay. My daughter, Medina, may Allah preserve her, make dua for her, please. She's a great blessing in my life. For those of you who know her, you know she has a lot of laughter to her, a lot of light. She's running and smiling and jumping here and there. And we stopped for a moment to take a look at the sun as it was setting. And there were some telescopes that could give you a better view. And in place of benches, there were some stones that you could stand on to elevate yourself. And Medina is jumping from stone to stone to stone. She's laughing and she's playing. And all of a sudden, she slips and she falls. And up until that point, my daughter, she had never really hurt herself. Bumps, bruises. Whenever she cried, we would just run and grab her and hold her and make sure she was okay until she stopped crying. So my wife, Priya, she went to grab Medina and she held her tight to her. And as she turned with her, we saw that there's a deep gash on Medina's head. And a lot of blood was coming out of it. All of us ran in different directions, get water and tissues and try to find something to make a makeshift bandage. And a few moments after, Medina was laughing and playing. But my wife, she still had a look of horror on her face. She still just felt pain. And you could tell that if she could do anything to take that difficulty away from our baby, she would have. If she could even have been in her place, she would have done it. And I had to ask myself, do I believe in a God that loves me more than my wife loves our child? And I landed on a place that said yes. And when I believe in that God, and I have to go into that world, I have to meet people who look for every reason to tear me down, to say, this is why I'm not good enough, this is why I don't belong, this is why it's okay for us to surveil you and profile you and invade you in your house. Or I have to sit and listen to their reasons as to why we shouldn't let black people be the imams of our masjid. We shouldn't let our children get married to people outside of our culture, our community. We shouldn't let people who are of a different race into our centers because we'll have to provide them with charity and zakah and sadaqah.
I understand that they're not God. And they might have landed in the places that they did for whatever reason. But they're not going to set an impression for me who my creator is. I'm going to listen to his messenger. I'm going to read his book. And I'm going to get done what it is that he's given me the ability to do. So that the confines of this world that was made for nothing else other than to really give me an insight as to what the world beyond this one really means to me is not what I'm going to look for contentment and satisfaction. All we need for you to do is to be yourself. To be in a place that understands that your relationship with Allah is your relationship with Allah. You will make mistakes, Allah is most forgiving. You will fall on your face, I'm sorry if someone else is not there to help you stand up. If no one else is making dua for you, know that I am making dua for you every night. If you find yourself in a reality where someone doesn't understand, don't let toxicity be within you. We did a panel with recovering alcoholics and people who had severe addictions at our center a few weeks ago, and this woman who had a most beautiful story in terms of her relationship with God, she said that holding resentment is like drinking poison and hoping that somebody else will die. Don't do it to yourself. People are people. They make their mistakes. We make our mistakes. We just got to keep going. Start with this world that's inside of you. Take care of your heart. Find outlets that make sense for you, that don't give you just short-term complacency or satisfaction, but will give you real contentment. Surround yourself with individuals who uplift your spirits, who don't just say yes to everything that you do, because there's not good in that either, but who love you, who care for you, and who understand where you're coming from. And will provide you with the ability for you to reach where it is that you are supposed to be. Be in a place where you take care of your physical, your emotional, your mental, your spiritual. And allow for yourself to understand that no matter what or wherever you end up, Allah is there with you. All you have to do is acknowledge His presence. And let it be something that uplifts you to places that you didn't even know existed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us. May He bless us with knowledge that benefits us. May He bless us with a tawfiq to understand and implement that knowledge into our daily lives. And may He guide and bless us all. Wallahu ta'ala alam wa billahi tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu.